Name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans. And I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So, bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the all-forgiving, the all-compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brother and sister in Islam, Salamun alaikum, and so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today we're going to speak about trusting Allah's plan, so be with us. As the ritual of this program, at first we'll look at the calendar. Today is Saturday, 28th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1446 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. corresponding to the 10th of Azar, 1403 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 30th of November, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. And it's nice to start with the Holy Quran. For today, we'll listen to verse 3 of chapter At-Talaq. Then we come back, speak about the point of this ayah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فإذا بلغن أجلهن فأمسكوهن بمعروف أو فارقوهن بمعروف وأشهدوا ذوي عدل منكم وأقيموا الشهادة لله ذلكم يوعظ به من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا.
And when they have nearly fulfilled their term, either retain them according to reasonable terms, or part with them according to reasonable terms, and bring to witness two just men from among you, and establish the testimony for the acceptance of Allah. That is instructed to whoever should believe in Allah and the last day, and whoever fears Allah, He will make for him a way out.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed verse is saying that Allah will provide him from sources that he could have never imagined, and whosoever puts his trust in Allah, he will suffice him, since Allah will accomplish his purpose and he has set a measure for all things. Thus, male and female, witnesses are warned against entertaining fear of problems resulting from treading the path of Allah, the path of truth, but they are enjoined to administer justice and invoke Allah for removing the impediments, since He, Allah, guarantees that whoever puts his trust in Him, he will be delivered from entanglements. As I told you, dear friend, we're going to speak about trusting Allah's plan. Sometimes you decide to go somewhere and Allah decides to let you go also. And sometimes you decide to go to a college and Allah gives you admission into that college also. You decide to graduate early and Allah lets you graduate early also. So things go according to your plan. All that means is your plan, and Allah's plan was the same for that thing. But sometimes your plan and Allah's plan are not the same. Sometimes you want to stay in that job for 10 years, but you get fired after 6 months. Allah says, "And say, perhaps my Lord will guide me to what is nearer than this to right conduct."
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. This is Ali, your host. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plans for me and you. So There is always a plan of Allah for us. That is, Allah has always had a plan for me and you. This is the topic of our discussion. What is Allah's plan for us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a plan for you and me before we were born. And He still has a plan for you. Allah's plan for you is necessary and glorious. His plan is vital to your success and important to the world. So Allah's plan is not set in stone, as if we were robots pre-programmed in the factory. That would strip us of free will and deny our natures. Rather, I believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a flexible plan for each human being, a plan that allows that person to benefit the world with his or her unique talents. This is, in fact, Islamic view of al-qadr, or predestination. There is no doubt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed everything that happens in the universe from the beginning of the time, from the beginning of time to the end, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written all in al-lawh al-mahfuz, the book of decrees.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the
we're speaking about trusting in Allah. We look at the ways to trust Allah in difficult times. Remember that Allah does not burden a soul beyond its capacity. Allah the Almighty says in the Quran in chapter Al-Baqarah verse 286, Allah does not require of any soul more than what it can afford. All good will be for its own benefit and all evil will be to its own loss. This verse highlights the belief that Allah does not inflict nor impose a burden on a soul beyond its capacity and serves as a poignant reminder that His wisdom surpasses our comprehension and that the trial and obstacles we encounter are indefinitely tailored to our capabilities. To know Allah is to place your trust in Him. You are listening to today's special. To know Allah is to know and acknowledge His names and attributes. Pause and reflect when reciting them and call upon Him by these names. Only then can one develop a meaningful connection to Allah, one that will inculcate complete reliance on Him. He is eternal, Al-Hayy, and the sustainer of all that exists, Al-Qayyum. His knowledge is all-encompassing, Al-Alim. He's the most powerful, Al-Qadir. The one who is self-sufficient, Al-Qani. The one who provides abundantly, Al-Razzaq. And the one who is the most noble and generous, Al-Karim. Allah is our guardian, Al-Wakil. To Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. And sufficient is Allah as disposer of affairs. He's always in control over all of His creation. Thus the Creator, our awareness of Allah, the greater our certainty in Him and our love for Him, and the stronger our tawakkul.
And if you want to know whether God has a plan or not, because sometimes we really have doubts when we go through difficulty, just examine your surroundings. Examine this universe, and you see that everything in this universe knows exactly what to do, except this confused human being. There's nothing confused around you. Just inspect the whole universe from a subatomic level to a grand universal level, to a cosmic level. There's nothing confused in this universe. Have you ever seen a confused atom not knowing what to do? An electron that's confused. Do I spin this way or that way? How many times should I spin? Everything is in perfect order. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inspired it what to do. Look at the world of animals. They know exactly what to do. Some animals, sometimes if you think that you have a heavy workload, believe me, some of these animals put our workload to shame. Look at some of these ants, the honeybees, the beavers, the penguins, the female lions. Do you know how hard they work just to continue surviving? Too often we forget about that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the ant in the Holy Quran, mentions the bee in the Holy Quran. Why? For us to reflect.
Dear brother and sister, thank you for listening to this episode of today's special. Inshallah, we trust in Allah in every moment of our life. We meet you soon and have a nice time. Fi amanillah.
So far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further and further away from you. Ooh, Allah, you brought me home. I thank you with every breath I take.
Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu and welcome to this episode of the Hadith of the Day. Brothers and sisters, as you can see in gardening and in growing up, like growing plants, and as you can see in some other areas, when you give something away or you put something away from something, it makes it, like helps it grow even more. So this is the case in this hadith, mentioned in this hadith from Lady Fatima salamullah alayha. He says, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الزَّكَاةَ تَزْكِيَةً لِلنَّفْسِ وَنَمَاءً فِي الرِّزْقِ. He says, Allah has made zakat a means of purification. It purifies. Purifies what? For the soul. Purifies the soul, your soul. You give away, you purify yourself. What? Is it filth? It's not filth, but, you know, actually, let me explain it to you. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌ مَعْلُومٌ لِسَائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. Those people, the righteous people, they feel like that, and it is true, that in their property, in their wealth, in their savings, there is a part, there is a proportion reserved for the poor. It belongs to them. It's not for them, the owner. It belongs to the poor. They have to give it away. And لِسَائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ, for the poor people. So imagine the rich people today, if they give some, you know, let's say according, like, if it's like homes, 20% or less or more of that, more or less, to the poor, would there any poor remain in the surface of the earth? I don't think so. Or if they pay attention to the other instruction in the Quran, Israf, kulu washrabu wa la tusrifu, do not waste. If you go and search the wastage of the food only the food, if you pay attention to the statistics, you see that actually 40% of the food, for example, in the United States is wasted. So if that is given to the poor in the world, there would remain no poor in this surface of the planet. Isn't that so? So it's amazing that, you know. Anyway, let's get back to the zakat, to the sadaqah, to the charity. When you give something away for Allah to the poor, so it actually purifies you. You feel light, you feel like purified. If, you know, there is a lot of weight on your soul, when you give that money away, you purify yourself. Because that money, that property belongs to you. It's actually a kind of a part of you. It's like, I don't know if we can call it filth or something else. It's amazing that the effect of that, giving that away, is purification for you. So, inshallah, we would be like donors and like people of charity, and we help others for the sake of ourselves even. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom. Allah.
صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host, Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi. Assalamu alaikum to all the dear listeners of this program. I'm really glad to be with you.
Thank you. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of different Quranic parts. At first, we're going to talk about a famous reciter of the Noble Quran, and then we're going to listen to a recitation by that reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation, and beside these parts, we're going to have some other interesting Quranic parts. So please stay tuned. Today, we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Muhammad Mahmoud Tablawi. He was an Egyptian reciter who was born in 1934 in the rural area. At the age of 10, he managed to memorize the Noble Quran completely. And at the age of 15, he recited Quran in Quranic gatherings. In 1956, he joined the Egyptian Quran TV channel and he is best known as the Golden Voice Reciter. Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of Surah Az-Zumar, verses 69 and 70, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Mahmoud Al-Tablawi, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the Absolutely Merciful, the especially merciful. And the earth will shine with the light of its Lord, and the book will be placed open, and the prophets and the witnesses will be brought forward, and it will be judged between them with truth, and they will not be wronged. And each person will be paid in full for what he did, and he is the best aware of what they do.
وأشرقت الأرض بنور ربها ووضع الكتاب وأشرقت الأرض بنور ربها ووضع الكتاب وجيء
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Surah Az-Zumar, verses 69 and 70, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Mahmoud At-Tablawi. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, this recitation, first of all, I should say that it's in the riwayah of Warsh.
An-Nafi'.
And it has several signs.
Sure.
There are certain
clues,
we could say. There are things that indicate that this is Warsh and not Hafs. The first one, which is rather obvious, is وَإِشْرَقَتِ الْأَرْضُ وَالْأَرْضُ. We didn't have Nabra of the Hamza. When this happens, we automatically know that this is Warsh. This was one sign.
But how about the first beginning Hamza, that is وَأَشْرَقَ?
No, you have to pronounce it.
Why?
There's no, because it's not Sakin. Because the letter before the Hamza is not Sakin. You would only do Tasheel without the Nabra whenever the Hamza is preceded by a Sakin letter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you can't begin with a Sakin letter. You can't say
Ashraqatil. Washraqa
is
wrong.
Yeah.
So you have to pronounce Nabra.
You can't begin uttering a word that begins with a Sakin. It's impossible.
But before, do we have a Wav which has Fatha?
Yes, and that's why the tasheel doesn't take place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. وَأَشْرَقَتِ الْأَرْضُ. We have a Ra which is Sakin preceded by a letter with a Fatha. So we have to pronounce the Ra with Tafkhim. In Warsh and Hafs, we have the same rule
mm-hmm.
with respect to this Ra.
We pronounce it with thickness.
Yes. Binuri. Again, the Ra is pronounced with Tarqiq, the same rule as Hafs al-Asim.
And here it is pronounced with thinness.
With thinness. Now, this is where it gets rather strange, the way that Sheikh Tablawi recited this part of this verse. Waji'ah. Okay, until now, it's the same as Hafs. We have a Matul Muttasil. The difference is that in Warsh, you have to lengthen Matul Muttasil to 6 vowel counts. Mm-hmm. All of them. You don't have the choice of 4 or 5.
Even Munfasil Mads.
Even Munfasil Mads. You have to do Ishba'. It's called Ishba' of Mad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, he says, Bin Nabi'ina wa Shuhada. Why is that? It's because in Warsh an Nafi', when you say Nabi, it's actually Nabi, it ends with a
Hamza
in Warsh.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't end with a Ya Mushaddad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's Nabi'ina. And now the Een, Nabi'ina, is a Matul Badal. The part Ina. This is Matul Badal. And in Warsh, you're allowed to lengthen Matul Badal up to 6 vowel counts. And that's exactly what Sheikh Tablawi does.
So this is why Nabiyina in Hafs an Asim changes to Nabiyina.
Yes.
In Warsh an Nafi'.
Yeah. So we have, how many mads do we have? We have Waji'ah, that's 1. Nabi, 2. Ina, 3. And Shuhada'i, 4.
That is 4.
So we have 4 mads, and all of them are lengthened to 6 vowel counts. It's really difficult to do that.
Yeah.
You have to have very good breath control.
Like none of them exists in Hafs an Nafi'.
Other than the Matul Muttasils.
No, I mean 6 vowel counts.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have 6 vowel counts for these mads in Hafs an Asim. وَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ The dad has a kasra. We have to pronounce it like... Actually, you have to pronounce it with the lowest level of tafkhim. So, it seems to me that Sheikh Tablawi is pronouncing the dad like a dal, which is mufakham. This is okay? Because... Apparently, most of the reciters, they pronounce dad like a dal, which has tafkhim. But if you want to pronounce dad more correctly, in the original way, okay, the way that it should be pronounced, you have to pronounce it with
rakhawa
and istitala. Okay? وَقُضِيَ
قُضِيَ
We have to pronounce it softly a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, istitala is a strong characteristic. But nevertheless, it also makes the timing longer.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like a stretching. We stretch the consonant. We lengthen the consonant.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we lengthen mudud, the meds, the hamzas, the kasras and dhammas. We do the same thing with respect to dad.
And that is the only consonant which is going to be lengthened.
Yes. The sound gets lengthened from the back of the tongue to the tip of the tongue.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن هو
والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
Ocean of Dua.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In today's program, we will listen to a commentary of Ziyara al-Yasin by Sheikh Abdul Raza Bahrani, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
On that morn, before the world was born, in the slowly world I hear that music near and far. Did we the cadence of divine music hear? Did we the cadence of
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
All praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the best and the last of the Prophets Muhammad and his pure and infallible progeny and household, especially his last successor Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. And may Allah's peace and blessings be upon you and with you, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is the Ocean of Dua and I am Abdul Raza Bahrani. Insha'Allah, I will explain and interpret the passages and sentences of Ziyarat al-Yasin in this series of lectures. Now, let's listen to some passages of this Ziyarat.
The Ziyara of al-Yasin.
Ya Mawlai, Shaghiya man khalafakum, Wasa'ida man أطاعكم فاشهد على ما أشهدتك علي وأنا ولي لك بريء من عدوك.
O my master, certainly wretched is he who opposes you, and certainly happy is he who obeys you. So testify to me all that which I have besought you to testify. I am verily an ally of you, and denouncing your enemy.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum wa al'an adahum ajma'in.
In the Ziyarat al-Yasin, we get to this sentence, Ya Mawlai, Shaqiya man khalafakum, wa sa'ida man ata'akum. O my master, wretched is he who has opposed you, and fortunate is he who has obeyed you. And then after this sentence, we say, Fashhad ala ma ashhadtuka alayh, wa ana waliyun laka bari'un min aduwik. Then testify whatever I made you witness of. And then, وَأَنَا وَلِيٌّ لَكَ بَرِيءٌ مِّنْ عَدُوِّكَ. I am your wali and friend, and I denounce your enemies. Here, there's a very important point about the first sentence. I mean, يَا مَوْلَى شَقِيَ مَنْ خَالَفَكَ
خالفكم وسعد من أطاعكم. Wretched is he who has opposed you, and fortunate is the one who obeys you. A very important point can be understood and comes out strongly from this, and that is that man is wretched and fortunate based on his own decisions and his own actions. There's no scope for anyone to claim on the day of resurrection that he was made to enter hell, as he was inherently wretched. And none can also take recourse to the excuse of compulsion and hold his preordained destiny responsible for his evil and corrupt actions. If one is wretched, he is so as a direct consequence of his own immoral actions. And if he is fortunate, then it is the outcome of his virtuous actions and, of course, divine help and grace. So, if we want to be a fortunate person, then we need to obey Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. We need to obey Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. How to pray for the faraj or the relief? Imam al-Asr ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif to his second representative, Muhammad bin Uthman rahmatullahi alayhi, addressing the Shias, says, pray a lot for the relief, as indeed it is your relief. One who is disturbed, distressed and heartbroken due to the separation from the Imam, the prayers of such a person, they have two effects. Either the Imam's arrival will be hastened, or the afflictions, the problems and the distresses of the person praying for the relief of the Imam, they will be removed. As a result, he will be eased, he will be pleased, and will be comforted. In either cases, as Imam al-Asr ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif has said, وَأَكْثِرُ الدُّعَى لِتَعْجِيلِ الْفَرَجِ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ فَرَجْكُمْ. Pray a lot for the relief, as indeed it is your relief.
Allahumma kun li waliyika hujjat ibn al-Hasan salawatuka alayhi wa ala abaihi fi hadhihi وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا.
The ocean of dua. Commentary of Ziyara al-Yasin by Sheikh Abdul Raza Bahrani, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom.
And of course, as we said, the obedience of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, including Baqiyatullah al-Azam arwahuna fidah, is what is exactly obedience of Allah the Almighty. Whatever they order is the commandment forbid God the Almighty. And whatever they forbid has been prohibited by Allah the Almighty. So if you want to be prosperous, if you want to be fortunate and felicitous in hereafter, then we need to be righteous people, pious and God-wary people, and obey Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. After this point, we declare our friendship
and love for the Imam alayhi salam, the Shia of them, and in the same breath, we distance ourselves from their enemies. It will not be out of context to mention over here the equal significance that Islam attaches to loving the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam and detesting their enemies. No Shia worth his salt can ever be attached to the enemies of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, and can never harbor any love and inclination towards them. In this regard, you can refer to chapter Ahzab, verse 33, verse 3, and its exegesis of the Holy Quran. When we refer to the Holy Quran, we find that the friendship and loving of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam is a must, and it is an obligation which has been instructed by Allah the Almighty in the Holy Quran. When we look at the other prophets, we study the Holy Quran, we read it and its verses, we find that the other prophets of God were telling their people that we do not want any reward for the act that we are doing, and our reward will be compensated and will be paid by Allah the Almighty. All the prophets would say, وَمَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ or إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَى رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So, in different verses of the Holy Quran, we find such a saying from the prophets, that all the previous prophets, they used to say to their followers and to their people of their time that we do not expect you to reward us, and our reward lies with God the Almighty, the Lord of the worlds. But when it comes to the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure and infallible household and Ahlul Bayt, God the Almighty orders him to tell the people that the reward of his prophethood and the reward of his endeavor is the love for his Ahlul Bayt. قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. Say, I do not ask you over my mission any reward except for the love in my close kinship and kinsfolk. Inshallah, we will continue Ziyara al-Yasin in the next programs. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Never forget to say La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Well, it's a couple of episodes, actually. We have started discussing some of the jurisprudential laws related to medical issues based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini, and we'd like to continue, along the same line, if you don't mind, Sheikh Javid.
Sure.
Is it permissible to use the sperm of the husband, of course, after his death, in fertilizing an egg taken from his wife and implanted it inside her womb? Does the born child belong to the dead husband, and does the born child inherit from the father?
Well, it's a very good question. Just as we discussed in the previous episode, there could be, for example, a sperm bank where the sperm of her husband, the woman's husband, is stored.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be useful, and the sperm can be used to fertilize the eggs of the woman. Now, when it comes to the answer to the question, of course, there is no harm in carrying out the procedure in itself. It is permissible according to His Eminence Quran Ayatollah Khamenei, and of course, the born child belongs to the mother to whom the egg and the womb belong. Mother, and yes, to whom the egg and the womb belong. It's His Eminence Quran Ayatollah Khamenei says that it's not remote, or maybe in other words, it's not unlikely to attribute the baby to the husband also at this time, because the husband is no longer alive, but this, it is his sperm. So he says his Eminence Quran Ayatollah Khamenei is not very much certain. He does not give a very decisive and clear-cut, a straightforward answer when it comes to whether the child belongs to the dead husband or not. He says that it's not remote that the child might be attributed to that man, of course. But there is one thing very much certain in his answer to this question. He's of the view that the baby does not inherit
from the father?
Yeah, from his father.
Yes. Why not?
This is his opinion. Mm-hmm. I know. Probably he has his own argument and demonstration.
I see.
When it comes to...
Because the sperm comes from the father.
Yeah, the sperm comes, but the only thing...
But it was not with the father's consent.
Yeah,
probably,
of course.
Right?
With the father's consent and through regular intercourse.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Unless if there is another scenario, if I may add to this scenario, actually, like if you have a testament or a will from the father, in fact, undoing so.
That's another issue.
Yes.
If the father leaves a testament directing his wife or maybe his relatives that one third or half of his probably his property or estate be given to the child who is going to be born
after his death.
Yeah, that's another issue.
Yes, exactly. Okay, thank you very much.